The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
Sex Out Loud is brought to you by the Smitten Kitten, non-toxic quality sex toys and supplies. Visit smittenkittenonline.com.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Today, I'm talking to two of the most influential people in their respective fields. I will first chat with groundbreaking lesbian pornographer Nan Kinney. And later in the show, I'm going to talk to the foremost expert on polyamorous families, Dr. Elizabeth Sheff. I want to remind all of you that we are only 1 week away from an incredible event in Washington, D.C., and that is Catalyst Con East, which happens March 15th to the 17th at the Crystal City Marriott near Reagan National Airport. Catalyst Con East is a 3-day conference that has all these different sessions, over 70 speakers on topics ranging from body image to sex toys, erotic writing, slut shaming. I will be moderating the opening night plenary, and I'm also sitting on two panels, one about feminist porn and the other one about Measure B, the condom law in LA. So it's a really great conference, and there are still weekend packages available. So you can still register if you go to catalystcon.com, and you can use the code Tristan at checkout for $10 off registration. And then just a few weeks later, on April 6th, is the Feminist Porn Conference at the University of Toronto. It is a one-day conference that happens the day after the Feminist Porn Awards, and it brings together academics, scholars, porn performers, producers, and critics. There are panels, papers, special screenings. We're going to have a keynote lunch and a reception. It's all happening at the University of Toronto, and you can register at thefeministpornbook.com. Click on the link for conference. And I will tell you that we are about 75% sold. So we just really have a few tickets left. If you're thinking of going, you should sign up now. Today we are also live, which means we can take your phone calls. You can call us at 866-472-5788, 866-472-5788. You can talk to either of my guests and me. You can also post questions for me and my guests on Twitter at SexOutLoudRadio or on Facebook.com/AskTristan. Today's guest is Nan Kinney, the president and producer of Fatal Media and one of the founding publishers of the highly acclaimed and definitely notorious On Our Backs magazine. A native of Austin, Minnesota, she began her foray into the world of lesbian pornography in the early 1980s when she moved to San Francisco to check out the SM scene. When she realized that there was no venue for lesbian sexual imagery made by and for lesbians, she and Deborah Sundahl and Susie Bright solicited material and published their very first issue of On Our Backs in June 1984. With the success and popularity of the magazine, Nan and Debra jumped into videos. And in January of 1985, they released their first films, Private Pleasures and Shadows, two videos that starred real-life lesbian lovers and presented for the first time sexually explicit footage made by and for lesbians. Although she and Debbie sold On Our Backs in the 90s, Nan continued to run Fatal Media, which she does to this day. And the company shot and produced more critically acclaimed lesbian videos, as well as began to carry independently produced lesbian, queer, and educational titles, including work by Courtney Trouble, Shine Louise Houston, Madison Young, and Emily Jouvet. I am so thrilled to have this person on the show who quite literally paved the way for my own career. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Nan.
Hey, Tristan. Great to be here.
So I was just in New York City at CineKink, and I screened my clip show, the feminist porn show, there, and I showed a clip of Suburban Dykes starring Nina Hartley and Sharon Mitchell, which, of course, you and Fatal Media produced. And people went crazy for it. I mean, it's one of my favorite videos of all time. And one of the things that happens is that Sharon Mitchell plays this sort of butch escort who comes to sexually service this couple, Nina and Pepper. And the first thing she does up front is she starts talking about safer sex, which is something that's repeated in a lot of Fatal videos. We see a lot of depictions of safer sex and a lot of discussions about safer sex for women who have sex with women. So I want you to take me back to that time when you were making these films. Why was safer sex such an important issue then?
Well, Tristan, this was the, late 80s, early 90s, and the HIV AIDS epidemic was, just starting in San Francisco. And, we had many of our, gay guy friends becoming infected and actually, to our horror, dying all around us. And the safer sex was becoming a big issue in the gay guy community. But we realized that it affected lesbians as well, because a lot of lesbians might be having, bisexual type relationships, or they might be using drugs. And so there was sort of, the threat, or we felt that we needed to bring up awareness about safer sex for lesbians through our, porn movies and magazine. Because really nobody else was. There was very little discussion or information about, the fact that, women too have to watch out. Women too, should at least be aware of safer sex techniques, and that they don't have to be, icky and scary. They can be sexy and fun. So that's where that scene came from, with Sharon Mitchell coming in with her bag of tricks that night.
That's one of the interesting things about these early movies, is because there was really nothing else out there, I feel like they had to function on all these different levels. They had this educational component, then they had this idea that we want to show real lesbians having sex with each other, real couples, but also provide jerk-off material for dykes who were looking for porn. How did you manage to kind of cram all those different things into one movie?
Well, I'll tell you, it wasn't easy. It was almost like doing missionary work back then. I mean, we really were the only ones kind of forging our way and making up the rules as we went. We had a lot of help with a lot of creative people. In San Francisco in those days, artists and, the people that were involved in different graphic works and designs could afford to actually live in San Francisco and do their art. And I have to say that there were probably more creative people crammed into that little city than anywhere else on Earth, especially at that time. So we were fortunate to, you know, be able to work with some extremely creative people that helped us put all these elements together.
And are you still in touch with any or all of the people who performed in these movies? Because I always wonder, like, what happened to Pepper?
You know, I still have people asking me questions. What happened to Pepper? What happened to Reva? You know, I pretty much have lost personal touch with them. You know, I do stay in touch with people that are still ongoing in the industry, like Nina Hartley, Sharon Mitchell, Char, and various people that worked on the magazine. But for the most part, the actual performers in those early movies, I have to say I've kind of lost touch with.
It would be great to track them all down and have some sort of reality show, like where are they now?
Exactly. That would be really fun. Oh, my God.
Now, in the 90s, On Our Backs was being published bi-monthly, and the circulation was at an all-time high, and you and Deborah Sundell decided to sell the magazine. How difficult was it for you to let it go after nurturing it for a decade and having given birth to it, basically?
Right. Well, it's two sides of the story. It was kind of bittersweet, for sure. And on the other hand, after 10 years of doing this, you know, we were, you know, Deborah and Susie and I together working on this for 10 years, three creative and fiercely independent women. It's a miracle we stayed together that long, you know what I mean? But it just, you know, got to the point where we were going our separate ways, and it was just, the magazine was doing well, the videos were doing well, and personally, I felt like we had done what we came to do and what we started out with had been achieved, and we had other things that, you know, we wanted to move on to, although all this time I've stayed with the movies. For me, this has been, you know, sort of a lifetime living dream for me to still be doing this.
And what do you think are some of the changes you've seen? You've been there since the very beginning, and now there's, you know, an entire section of the website or store that we can see lesbian-produced lesbian porn. What do you see as some of the major changes, besides the fact that more of it exists?
Well, yes, that's a huge major change. At least there is, you know, a genre now recognized as, you know, lesbian porn. I would say that the variety of sexual identities that are being expressed, you know, in lesbian porn and queer porn is remarkable. I mean, that we're finding the people expressing themselves in so many different ways, ways that, you know, are true to their sexualities and their lives, and I think that variety is tremendous. And I think it's probably just going to keep expanding, you know, as time goes on. More and more people will be attracted to, you know, the porn industry and able to express themselves through, porn material.
And is it true that the entire catalog of Fatal Media is now available on DVD? Has all of it been converted?
A couple haven't, but I'm going to do that. It all is available streaming and for download at Hot Movies for Her, the entire catalog.
Okay, and then most mm-hmm. of the DVDs are at Fatal Media.
Yes, most of them. There's a couple, like very earliest ones. We had problems with the masters on those, Private Pleasures and Shadows. I think we could probably make an effort to get them on DVD. The quality won't be great, but they will at least be there, you know, for historical reasons, if you will.
Right, for all for for all of posterity. Okay, well, we're going
Exactly.
We're gonna take a commercial break. But we've got questions already on Facebook for you. Let's take a break and hear from some of my fabulous sponsors who make this show possible, including the Smitten Kitten, which has a great selection of lesbian porn, including Fatal videos. Smitten Kitten is a progressive sex toy store for everybody. You can find them at smittenkittenonline.com. Use the coupon code Tristan for 20% off your order. Stay with us, more lesbian porn with the legendary Nan Kinney when we return.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
Hello, Sex Out Loud listeners. This is Jennifer from the Smitten Kitten. Did you know that you can get 20% off your entire purchase at smittenkittenonline.com? All you have to do to get your discount is use the coupon code Tristan. That's T-R-I-S-T-A-N. That means you can get 20% off all Enjoy surgical steel toys, 20% off all Vixen Creation silicone toys, including Tristan's signature butt plugs, and you can also get all of Tristan's DVDs, the entire Vivid Ed series she did, and the Chemistry series for 20% off. Too. Sex Out Loud listeners can get 20% off of everything at smittenkittenonline.com. Smitten Kitten specializes in high-quality sex toys and supplies. We're well-known for having an amazing selection of toys made of silicone and other body-safe materials. Shopping on our website is easy. You can chat online with a Smitten Kitten sex educator, or you can call us anytime at 888-751-0523. Everything is 20% off at smittenkittenonline.com when you use coupon code Tristan at the checkout.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. We are talking with pioneering porn producer Nan Kinney. And before the break, I asked her what was some of the most striking changes she's seen in lesbian erotic video since Fatal Media started. And that question came courtesy of none other than another legend, Susie Bright, who posted on Facebook that question, as well as another one for you, Nan. She says, I remember Nan talking me down on the set of Private Pleasures when the lead actress announced she didn't know how to masturbate. Now, I've got to hear this story about Private Pleasures and masturbation.
Oh, my God. Susie, thank you for that brain punch there. I haven't thought about that in a long time. So we solicited actresses, you know, to be in our very first movie, Private Pleasures, and the script was that first we would film the couple, Terry and Sarage, in their beautiful penthouse, having, you know, wild sex, and we filmed that one day, and the next day the story was that, you know, an everyday lesbian would come home from work and switch on her TV and watch this lesbian porn movie. And while she's watching it, she masturbates. So that was the whole second, you know, half of the movie was her masturbating. And, so we had this beautiful woman that signed up for the job. And, I don't know if we didn't do a thorough enough, you know, interview at the tryout, but come to her part, she tells us that she has never masturbated. that she does not know how to masturbate. So this was quite alarming, as you can imagine, with the whole crew and equipment ready to go. So basically, Deborah, my partner, took her aside and sort of gave her some basic instructions on how she was going to masturbate in this scene with her hand. And we increased her pleasure and tension by, out of the camera range, kind of pulling on her legs so it showed that she was tensing up more than she really was. I don't know. I mean, I think she pulled it off. It was a little understated, but it's like one of those things you learn when you don't really know what you're doing yet, making porn movies, that something like this might actually arise.
This is just such a crazy story, because it's like she got a one-on-one sex coaching session with Deborah Sundow. Just let's just put that out there, which is a priceless thing. But it's amazing that, of course, I guess you didn't ask, because who would ask that question, right? Hey, have you ever masturbated before?
Yes,
you kind of assume.
You're volunteering to come and be in the porn movie. And, you know, it was just astounding. I mean, we were just astounded. It was like, wow, masturbation 101, you know, we needed Betty Dodson on the set. Who knew?
Exactly. But I think that's an interesting story, because so many performers have talked about how much they've learned about their own sexuality through doing porn. Now, they don't usually talk about it in terms of masturbating, but this idea that even back then, porn could be this tool, not just for other people to go watch and learn things, but for the very performers who were making it.
Exactly. I think everybody should do a porn movie at least once in their life, whether it's just for their private friends or for a larger audience. It kind of takes you places that you wouldn't normally go with yourself, you know what I mean?
Now, talking about places you wouldn't normally go, in the late 90s, you and Fatal Media produced Bend Over Boyfriend, this movie that was directed by Shar Rednauer. It starred sex educators Carol Queen and Robert Morgan. It was all about women giving men anal pleasure. It became a giant hit. I believe it's Fatal's best-selling title to this day.
Mm-hmm.
How did Bend Over Boyfriend come about? How did you decide, hey, we're going to take on this thing now?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, when the Fatal first started, our goal was to show a type of sexuality that was not normally shown, or not shown at all, should I say, in mainstream porn. And so Bend Over Boyfriend, this women pleasing their men anally, was in the same context. In other words, we knew people were doing this, we knew people were into it, but there was nothing really available out there about it, and definitely no educational type material on it. Shar and Jackie came to me with this idea. Jackie was then working the floor at Good Vibrations, selling sex toys, and she was getting more and more requests from, heterosexual women for strap-ons to, play with their men. And we had friends that were doing this. We had talked to them about it. It was like, wow, this is really cool. This is really happening. And we just thought that was the moment that we needed to do that movie. I branched out of the lesbian genre into this, you know, straight educational one, but it wasn't that big of a jump because it was still material that really nobody else was doing. So that's why I wanted to do it.
I've always said this about Bend Over Boyfriend. To me, Bend Over Boyfriend is a movie, but it's also a revolution. I mean, it spearheaded an entire movement of straight men coming out of the closet and saying, hey, I like anal play. I like to be on the receiving end of it. I mean, it really changed everything. It changed everything. In much the way that Fatale did in the very beginning with lesbian porn. When you first put it out, did you have any idea how crazy popular it would become?
Well, I'll tell you, the energy that we had when we were doing it, making Bend Over Boyfriend, was the same energy I had when we started Fatale lesbian movies. It was this really, really strong kind of burst of energy that I think is related to it being kind of revolutionary. It was like, oh, my God, we have to do this now. We have to do it right away. It needs to be done. It was just this kind of pressure, you know, that we needed to do it. And Bend Over Boyfriend, I felt that same energy as I did with the lesbian movies. And it is kind of like starting the bandwagon to go. It's like you're pushing it, and right away people start jumping on, but you don't really know exactly how far it's going to go and how many people are going to jump on. You just know you've got yourself a hold of a bandwagon, you know?
Now, you're going to be appearing as a very special guest along with Shar Rednauer at the Feminist Porn Conference in Toronto, which I talked about at the top of the hour, April 6th, presenting Lesbian Retro, a dyke porn retrospective, which is a clip show featuring footage of lesbian sex made by queer women in the 1960s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and early 2000s, including footage that people will literally have never seen before, that is just not commercially available.
Exactly. I'm really excited to be doing this, too. It's going to be fabulous, you know, because there's always, even if they have seen some of the footage before, there's always people, you're always having a new audience come to it. You know what I mean? You're always going to find new people that haven't seen it before.
And do you think that a thread continues? Do you see these similarities? Do you see some core piece of lesbian-produced lesbian porn back from the 60s all the way till today, something that still remains, or is it radically different?
Well, that's a really good question. I think probably at the core what remains is that you see something authentic happen on the screen. There's a connection, let's say, between the performers that's authentic and real, or what they're doing is perhaps the same sexual acts, but they're in a different environment, a different culture, but what they're doing sexually is still somehow the same. So I think there is that sort of a thread of authentic lesbian sensibility that stays common through all the new genres of it.
And who are some of your favorite lesbian pornographers working today, making movies today?
Well, I love them all. Her Crash Pad series. I love every single one of her movies. And Madison Young, Wild and Crazy. This is an older one, Maria Beatty, but Maria Beatty has been one of my favorites since way back when. She started around the same time that we did, but she is still producing fantastic, beautiful films. Courtney Trouble and all of her queer sex films. And I really like, I know she doesn't do lesbian, although I wish she'd do more lesbian, Petra Joy. I think, she's got a great eye. I love her films too, although they're not all lesbian.
Yeah, she has an incredible artistic sense, and mm-hmm. her stuff is just, the production values are just extraordinary. Her stuff always looks so good.
They blow me away, yeah. Of course, I love your movies too, Tristan. Your sex ed films. I mean, God bless you. Keep on with them.
Well, I still have fond memories. One of my earliest movies of yours was doing it. I think it was called Doing It for Daddy or something like that.
Dressing up for Daddy.
Yes, Dress Up for Daddy. It was such a great movie, and it was also the narrative that went along with it was really fantastic. It had this voiceover about this couple, and it talked really articulately and really specifically about why they liked this daddy-girl fantasy and what it meant to them, and they were both super hot. I mean, To me, I could recite lines from that movie. That's how much of impression it made on me when I saw it in like 1990.
Tremendous. That's tremendous. Wow. Yeah, it was, what we wanted to do was give freedom to the performers to totally be themselves and to literally tell their story, you know? And this was a really, really good example of it, in that Dress Up for Daddy. I have to say, shooting that movie was extremely difficult. It was like in San Francisco on one of the rare days when it's like 100 degrees, right? So there's like no air conditioning. We're in this boiling Victorian apartment on the top floor. Everybody is sweating. I mean, it's just incredible that it didn't really come across, that we had really good makeup people, let's put it that way, so couldn't tell how much everybody was sweating. I do remember at one point during the shoot, the camera woman got so tired, because in those days you didn't have the nice little handheld digital cameras. You had big, gigantic, you know, Betacams that weighed like 100 pounds or something. She's standing there holding this camera, and I could see that she was starting to waver, you know, weaving back and forth. She's about to fall over, so I had to run up and grab her so she didn't fall over, and it was between the two of us holding the camera to finish out this really hot scene, you know.
Hot in more ways than one.
Yes, exactly.
Well, I really feel so deeply influenced by movies like that and by your work. And I know that every feminist pornographer working today has you and Deborah Sundahl and Fatal Media and Susie Bright to thank for paving the way for what we do. Thank you so much, Nan.
Well, thank you for those kind words, Tristan. I really appreciate it. And thanks for all your hard work as well. You're doing a lot yourself, you know.
You can find out more about Nan Kinney and Fatal Media, producers and distributors of lesbian-produced lesbian porn, the originals. Find out all about them at fatalmedia.com, and you can follow Nan and the company on Twitter at Fatal Media. They're also on Facebook. All of these links and more can be found at sexoutloudradio.com. Click on the link for episode resources. Coming up next, we are going to talk to an expert on polyamorous families. Dr. Elizabeth Sheff will be with us after we take this short break.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
Experience love with a little help from nature's soothing ingredients with Astroglide Natural Personal Lubricant. This all-natural and botanical formula lets you get in touch with your wild side, all while keeping it green. Astroglide Natural Personal Lubricant is glycerin, paraben, and alcohol-free, and it's made with aloe vera, vitamins C and E, and chamomile. But with the same second-only-to-nature feel that you get with your regular Astroglide. Visit astroglide.com to get your free sample and start hitting it green between the sheets today.
This is Jennifer Pritchett from The Smitten Kitten. We're huge Tristan Taramino fans just like you, and we're so proud to be the presenting sponsor for Sex Out Loud. If you're not already familiar with Smitten Kitten, here's the deal. We're an education-based sex toys and supplies retailer. We sell high-quality, non-toxic, and artist-made sex toys, organic lubes, and all kinds of kinky stuff, including hard-to-find vegan options. We cater to an incredibly diverse clientele and specialize in helping you find new sexual interests, expand your sexual skill sets, and even troubleshoot sexual issues with you. We are here to help you feel confident and sexy. We spend a ton of time and energy curating our selection of products to make sure we have the best selection, be it silicone dildos, pegging and strap-on equipment, vibrators, or ethically made porn. Our mission is to make sex-positive culture accessible to everyone. Don't miss our free streaming explicit educational videos, many of which were directed by Tristan herself, on our website, smittenkittenonline.com. Get inspired by Tristan's amazing show, Sex Out Loud, and then visit us online at our Minneapolis location.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. I want to remind everyone that we're live, which means we're taking your calls. You can call us at 866-472-5788. 866-472-5788. You can also post questions on our live Twitter feed at Sex Out Loud Radio or on Facebook.com/AskTristan. Now we're going to shift gears from porn to polyamory. And our next guest is a pioneer in research on polyamory. Dr. Elizabeth Eli Sheff is the foremost academic expert on polyamory in the United States and the worldwide expert on poly families with children, having conducted the only longitudinal analysis of poly families with children to date. After teaching sociology for 15 years at three universities, Dr. Sheff established the Sheff Consulting Group, a think tank of academics and professionals who specialize in legal and educational services for unconventional populations and those who need to know about them. As the senior legal consultant, Dr. Sheff specializes in families of sexual minorities, providing expert witness services, home evaluations for unconventional families facing child custody issues or attempting to adopt kids, and continuing education to lawyers, educators, counselors, and therapists. Her book, The Polyamorists Next Door, Inside Multiple Partner Relationships and Families, is being published later this year by Roman and Littlefield. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Dr. Eli.
Thank you so much for having me.
So as a sociologist, what first piqued your interest in studying polyamorous families?
You know, I was already studying polyamory, and I started to focus on the families because people would ask me about that specifically when I would be presenting at academic conferences and things. People would say, well, yeah, that's fine if the adults want to do that, but how can they do that to their children? As if polyamory was something they were inflicting, some damaging or negative thing that these adults were inflicting on their children. And I thought, you know, is it damaging and negative? You know, is it a problematic thing? Is it to be inflicted, or what's up with it? So I started focusing on families with kids. Not that I think family is definitionally focused on children. I think there's a lot of important family happenings among adults, but other people were so concerned about the kids that I decided to ask them what they thought.
Well, this is a very common question that I get asked whenever I present about my book Opening Up, and your study is so deep in its scope. I mean, you followed poly families with children for 15 years, tracing their evolution. And I feel like people are always asking this question, what about the children? What about the children? And some of it's quite patronizing. But I'll ask the question of you, since you know better than anyone, what about the children of polyamorous people? What do we know?
You know, they're in amazingly good shape. And I would say part of that is due to their race and class privilege. They tend to come from highly educated middle and upper middle class families. Not all of the families are rich, but just in general, people who identify as polyamorous tend to be highly educated, white, liberal people. And so that kind of race and class privilege gets you off to a good start. Secondarily, I think it really does take a village to raise children, and polyamory provides that village. It helps the parents feel like they have, not just feel like they have support, but actually have support. It kind of spreads the work around. Those of you who've had children know it's a lot of work for a long, long time. And it's hard work. And having multiple people doing it, being able to kind of tag team it and hand it off when either that person's skills aren't appropriate to what's happening in the moment or someone's just really tired. It helps the parents feel less stressed out, feel like their lives haven't just become diapers or Elmo or middle school, you know, whatever. The parents still have lives, and the kids have all these people they can depend on, and they really feel that deeply, not just that they can depend on people for the all-important ride, which is what the tweens and teens in the study, I would ask them about the advantages and disadvantages of polyamorous families, and routinely they would identify being able to get a ride.
Right. Yeah, it's all about the ride, because you can't drive yet, right?
Totally. And you got to go see your friends. You got to go to the skate park. You got to go to the mall. You need somebody to pick you up from the movies. You know, so if you've got four people, four different adults, somebody's going to be able to come pick you up.
So this reminds me, several weeks ago, we had Christopher Ryan on the show talking about his book, Sex at Dawn, where he's done an amazing amount of research on just how not monogamous lots of people through in lots of cultures are.
Yeah.
And he talks about various cultures where lots of different people raise kids. They live in close proximity. They nurse each other's children. They babysit each other's children. There isn't a sense of those are your kids and these are my kids. They're all sort of they're our kids. And it makes me think about what you're saying, because you know, Ryan really traces this kind of isolation after agriculture entered our lives, where we all sort of had the nuclear family kind of thrust upon us, and then we're all kind of raising kids, you know, in this kind of isolation. Everyone's in their own house. Everyone's doing their own thing. So it would seem to make sense to have a community of more than one or two parents helping you out.
Absolutely. Although I would say that the children don't necessarily see all of the adults in their lives as parents. They are much most likely to see someone who cohabitates or lives with them in the same household and or someone they have known since childhood. They're more likely to define that person as a parent. But most of their parents' partners, they don't see as actual parents. They see them as kind of an aunt or an uncle or a cousin or a friend, sometimes an older sibling. But they don't necessarily view everyone, every adult in their life as a parent. But they definitely view them as caring adults that they can count on and that are role models for them.
And were you able to find, I mean, I'm assuming it's hard enough to find polyamorous people who are ready to sit down and let you study them for all this time. And I think it's even harder to find people who aren't necessarily having a grand old time or aren't necessarily like super high functioning. I mean, did you find situations where kids could be really honest with you and say, I am not happy about this? Living in a polyamorous family, or was everyone just, you know, was it all rainbows and unicorns?
There certainly were a couple kids who were not pleased with how things were going. But for the most part, it was rainbows and unicorns, partially because if you're in a family and you feel like your family is functional and in good shape, you're much more likely to volunteer for research of any kind. Whereas if you are abusing your children or molesting anybody or beating anybody up, you're not going to say, hey, researcher, come on in, talk to my kids, see that I'm beating them, you know. So the functional families are going to volunteer. And the way my sample evolved, there were some research constraints that I could really only find the people who maintained contact with polyamorous communities. So over time, my sample reflects more the people who have stayed polyamorous than those who tried it and left. And now that I am operating under different rules than I was at first, I can retain people's contact information. So the follow-up study has been much more effective at following people as they stay or leave. But that initial sample, I couldn't recreate. So it was, I couldn't recreate from the very beginning who stayed and who left.
Okay, this opens up more questions, but we've got to take a break and hear from our sponsors who make this show possible, shows about issues like polyamory and kids. So let's hear from those sponsors. We'll take a break. We've got a caller on the line. Caller, I'm going to get to you. We are going to have more Sex Out Loud after this break.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Hello, Sex Out Loud listeners. This is Jennifer from the Smitten Kitten. Did you know that you can get 20% off your entire purchase at smittenkittenonline.com? All you have to do to get your discount is use the coupon code TRISTAN. That's T-R-I-S-T-A-N. That means you can get 20% off all Enjoy surgical steel toys, 20% off all Vixen Creation silicone toys, including Tristan's signature butt plugs, and you can also get all of Tristan's DVDs, the entire Vivid Ed series she did, and the Chemistry series for 20% off. Too. Sex Out Loud listeners can get 20% off of everything at smittenkittenonline.com. Smitten Kitten specializes in high-quality sex toys and supplies. We're well-known for having an amazing selection of toys made of silicone and other body-safe materials. Shopping on our website is easy. You can chat online with a Smitten Kitten sex educator, or you can call us anytime at 888-751-0523. Everything is 20% off at smittenkittenonline.com when you use coupon code TRISTAN at the checkout.
Turn off the TV and pick up the remote control that is sure to please. Worn while making love, the WeVibe 3 features whisper quiet motors that will keep you anything but quiet. We can't help it if the rechargeable battery lasts longer than you do. Learn more about the world's number one vibrator for couples at WeVibe.com. WeVibe. Share the pleasure.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. Today we are talking with Dr. Elizabeth Sheff, who is the author of the forthcoming book, The Polyamorous Next Door, and she's done the longest study of polyamorous families that exists in the world. So you followed these families for 15 years. What was the most surprising thing you discovered about poly families who have children?
You know, I would say that it's the father's involvement, ironically, that even though a lot of the families look somewhat gender traditional in that it's the women who, if you're going to have a stay-at-home parent, more of the time it's a woman, not all of the time, but more often than not. And economic constraints are often because women's wages are still frozen at 71 cents per dollar for per male dollar. So that contributes to that a lot. But once a relationship breaks up, the dudes, often who never had a sexual contact, are the ones who get together regularly with the kids. I noticed this over and over that if there was a woman who had multiple male partners and the male partners get close to her kids, and then whatever happens with the woman and her male partners, that her longest term male partner, her husband or primary or just her main dude, whatever, will go out of his way to maintain contact with the other men if the children were connected to him. If there's no connection between the kids and that other male partner, then the dude's really not into it. But if the kids want to see him, then the dude will make it happen way more so than the woman who used to be sexually connected to this guy and may have, you know, feel some tension around him or still or something.
And what do you attribute that to? I mean, because that sounds fascinating and not like a typical narrative of what happens when people break up and.
Totally. I think that it's the kind of dude who will choose polyamory as opposed to polygyny, or where one man can have multiple female partners. A man who's willing to share, not that she's his possession, but that he's not demanding exclusivity with her. So a man who's willing to share a woman with another man has already like stepped way outside the confines of what we think traditional heterosexual men should be doing. So he's also, you know, if he's known this other guy for years and they've established a friendship and a connection, he's going to be willing to help his kids still see this person, this other man who's important to them. And I see that as one of the things that polyamorous families could teach monogamous families. Because I've got to say, really, polyamory is not for everybody. It's fabulous for some people. It's really just exactly the perfect thing for them. And for other people, it is a complete disaster. But even if people don't necessarily want to be polyamorous themselves, the poly families work so hard and are so intent upon their relationships that they really do have a lot to teach people who necessarily don't want to be polyamorous themselves, but could really learn from that kind of communication style and that ability to retain emotional connection even once sexual connection stops.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. And this idea also of intentional family connections that you have chosen in some cases. These are not blood relatives, or may not be, but intentional family choosing and maintaining those bonds.
And I hear that from the kids a lot, that they see their parents creating intentional families, or in sociology we call that chosen kin.
Mm-hmm.
And then they take that on and do it themselves. And so sometimes that means getting close to one of their parents' partners, but sometimes it means them establishing independent relationships with important adults in their lives that have nothing to do with their parents. The children really take that to heart and start constructing families that really suit a wide variety of needs over a long period of time.
And the children really value that, not only the ability to be connected to and supported by multiple loving adults, but their own ability, kind of the freedom to say, hey, this relationship is important to me. I've chosen this adult who really cares about me. And she's, you know, I've decided she's kind of like my older sister.
That is fascinating. And I wish I could talk to you more about this, but guess what? We are seriously almost out of time. So when your book comes out, I must have you back on the show because there is so much more to talk about on this subject.
Thanks.
Thanks for opening the door, and we will definitely have you back for your new book.
Wonderful. Okay. I look forward to it.
Dr. Elizabeth Sheff is the author of the forthcoming book, The Polyamorists Next Door, Inside Multiple Partner Relationships and Families, which will be published by Roman and Littlefield later this year. You can find out more about her at elizabethsheff.com, and she's also on Facebook. All of these links and more, as usual, can be found at sexoutloudradio.com. Click on the link for episode resources. So, I didn't have time to give a shout out to my two other fabulous sponsors. Here goes Astroglide. Astroglide Lube makes sex better. You can go to astroglide.com to get a free sample. And I just love the Astroglide Natural, which is one of their newer products, which has no parabens, no glycerin. It's a great one. And WeVibe. WeVibe is the world's best-selling couples vibrator. You can go to we-vibe.com to find out more about it. WeVibe has expanded their line of toys beyond just the signature WeVibe toy, and they've got a lot of really great things out now. So you want to check out their website and see some of their really incredible technology, really great products. I want to thank everyone who makes this show possible, including executive producer Karen Dana, associate producer Raymond Johnson, segment producer and editor Colton, announcer Cooper Beckett from Life on the Swing Set, Matt, my engineer, and everyone at Voice America. If you missed any part of this show, you want to hear it again, you want to share it with your friends, you can listen on demand or download the MP3 by going to voiceamerica.com and searching for Sex Out Loud. You can also subscribe to it as a podcast on iTunes. Tune in next Friday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern, when we will be devoting the entire hour to the celebration of erotic literature. My guests will be some rock stars from the erotica world, Cleus Preths, authors and editors, Shauna Germain, Sachi Green, Delilah Devlin, Allison Tyler, and Christina Wright. And we are not just going to talk about erotica, but we're actually going to be treated to hearing some erotica. That's right. All of these women are going to read some of the steamiest passages from some of their best books and best stories. And I promise you, you do not want to miss it. Until then, I really hope to see you at Catalyst Con in DC next week, or a few weeks later at the Feminist Porn Conference at the University of Toronto. Check out sexoutloudradio.com for links to all those events and more. And please keep the discussion going on facebook.com/asktristan, on Twitter @sexoutloudradio, and in your own life. Take some time to talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety. Sex Out Loud is brought to you by The Smitten Kitten, non-toxic quality sex toys and supplies. Visit smittenkittenonline.com.